Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, lads, as you all know, I'm a pro. I'm a perfectionist and I like to look back on my work, but I'm so open and honest that instead of doing it at home, I do it live on air. Yes, it's time for
Jen's Friends.
Just Friends.
Okay, and I like to look back at the show. You know, all the stuff we had on the show during the week and the things I got you texting in and talking about. And I bring someone in, one of my pals in, to talk about it. And I sit back and have a little break and drink a coffee. Rory O'Connor is here. How's it going?
Jen, how are you?
I'm good. It's great to have you back.
Yeah, pleasure. Pleasure as always.
How's life?
Yeah, life is good now, yeah.
You're looking busy. Fresh.
Yeah, feeling fresh, yeah. I don't know how with no sleep with young kids and that, but...
There's always one, isn't there? Like, if it's not one, it's the other, I find.
Yeah, well, we've two now headbangers in inverted commas, a one-year-old and a three-year-old. We thought the Lucy would be grand, but she's blown him out of the water, so...
Yeah,
it was musical beds again last night in our house trying to get some sleep.
And that, it's never going to end until you kick him out at 18.
That's what worries me. People often say that on social media when I put up about toddlers going, Rory, they're the easy days. Wait till they're teenagers. And I can see it already of a nine-year-old girl and the emotions of, you know, starting to kick in and the mood swings and... Oh, yeah.
I know. It's a minefield. So I really appreciate you coming in with the lack of sleep.
No, I'll stay here all day.
I come here for a break, Rory.
Listen, I'll camp here. Do you have a tent? I don't want to go home.
We have to talk about this because... during the week, we had a huge conversation about men not really noticing stuff. On Monday, we spoke about how fellas, they just don't notice, you know, when women change their hair or, you know, use Botox on the sly. I revealed that I had a big conversation with my husband. We were looking at pictures of someone and he was like, whatever you do, don't ever get Botox. I'm looking at him going, I've been having it for 5 years and you haven't noticed. Do you know what I mean? So are you one of those lads? Would you notice if the missus changed her hair or what's the crack?
Ah, no, listen, I'm your stereotypical, like, you know, she'd come in after getting, she'd probably tell me that morning I'm going to the hairdressers, and that evening I'd come in and she'd be like, well, I'd be like, well, how are you? Oh, jeez, busy day. And she's like, did you not notice that? And I'd be looking around the kitchen going, oh, shit, like, did you get a new fridge magnet or something? And this be going on. And then she'd go, you're actually ridiculous. Look at me. And I'd look at, oh, yeah. And then when the hair, and then you come in, oh, it's lovely. And but what I understand is, like, they don't do it for our approval. It's the approval of other women, Jen. That's what I figured out over time. Like, it's not to impress.
You actually figured that out?
Yeah, I know. It took a lot of time. Yeah. And maybe it's 17 years in a relationship. But one day my wife did say, you realise that, like, I'm not trying to impress you or any other man. I'm trying to impress other women. I'm like, so you're a lesbian? She's like, no, it's just that's what we do. Like, we don't really care about men's opinion. And I was like, wow. So I didn't feel as bad after that.
Okay, like, yeah. And that is so true because I do find when I'm going out with the girls and I'm dressing up, I want their approval. Because lads are kind of easy and they're having a clue. That's very stereotypical, but there, I said it. I do dress up for the girlfriends and want them to say, oh my God, you look amazing.
Yeah.
So true.
I'd imagine like a girl's opinion over a man is far more powerful. Like in your head going, oh my God, she means, because we'd probably just say it anyway, because men can't. Like we'd be like, oh no, you're gorgeous, even though we mightn't think that. Again, I'm letting out all the secrets here now.
You just want an easy life.
Yeah, we just don't want hassle, Jen. We like.
I hear you.
Happy wife, easy life, all that. And that's the way it is. We just do not want any hassle. And if we have to just say yes or no, sir, we will.
Okay. Listen, but as fitness gets more and more trendy, let's talk about this. How does it change how men look at each other? Like, would you look at him? Can you look at a bloke and if he looks amazing, would you tell him?
I think that has changed. Like, so when I say, you know, maybe just say 15 years ago, like there was the baggy shirts and the Wrangler jeans and in a nightclub, that was it. But now a lot more men are looking after themselves more. Like, you know, they don't drink as much, they don't maybe eat as much bad food, and they're in good nick. Like, and that's obviously Love Island has a big factor to that. They're looking at these lads going, I want to have that body, and they're off and they're eating a lot more than my generation would have. Like, we just, yeah, you do a bit of training, but you'd eat away, and a six pack was, you know, was hard to come with. But now they're all kind of ripped. So I'm sure there is a sense that lads in nightclubs don't care what the women think. It's like, does he know how defined my triceps are? That's probably going on as well. You know?
What are you doing to keep fit?
myself, I just like going to the gym and I like swimming and that. Just like, for me personally, like, I don't think it's worth the hassle for a six pack. Six pack's in the kitchen, as everyone knows. You can do all the sit ups you want and push ups, but unless you're eating
nothing.
Well, and I love me food like that. Like, again, that's obvious. I'm 19 stone of meat, like, so I do like food. So I, again, who am I impressing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're out on the tear and you're, you know, going to a beach and she looks at six pack. But again, women don't care. Like,
nope.
Women are looking at other women going, what does she look like? Did she get the boobs done? Did she get the this done?
Right.
Women don't care about men.
So
we might as well have the dad bod. Like, they don't care. Like, and how often do you get your top off in Ireland? The 2-day heat wave of summer, you know, you might get out in your back garden, but after that, you're covered up. So for all you know, you do have an 8-pack under there.
And I'd be interested to know, because women are obsessed with getting a 6-pack. Women are obsessed with their stomach. And I would love to know, do people find that attractive on other people or on women especially?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
Yeah, in my opinion, no. And that's no disrespect to any girl that's completely ripped. Just for me, attraction-wise, no. I don't mind the curvy kind of, you know, I think it's more attractive on a personal note. So yeah, just my opinion now, I think a bit of punch.
Bits
and a bit of...
Bits and wobbly bits,
yeah,
absolutely.
I have to be careful now how I describe a body. I mean, I'm married, Jen, so...
But it's interesting you talk about Love Island, because there's a fine line, isn't it, where lads now are keeping fit and looking after themselves to becoming completely obsessed and self-conscious.
Yeah, it was probably going against the grain. I'm not a fan of the show myself personally. Like, my wife loves it, and it's none of this macho man. Why would you watch that? I try to watch it, but I do find the garbage. Like, my wife, do you hear me? Had it on in the room the other night, and there was a baby bawling for 20 minutes. I was like, are you actually watching this? Like, we're after selling the baby crying for last hour, and you're watching the baby crying. They're going around trying to be mommy and daddy, was it? I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
Now it's not one of them. I watch it behind the curtain. I'm not into it. And I tell you, like, not to get too serious, but I think there's more negative than a positive comes out of that show, because my daughter is 9 out of asking about already questions, and they're looking at these girls, and a lot of them have work done, Jen, and my opinion is, like, when you start to get the work done, when are you ever going to be happy?
Especially at that age.
You'll find a negative in yourself. You know.
There was a huge conversation. Women's Aid were releasing statements about, I'm with you on Love Island, releasing statements about Love Island. We've lost people through the run of this show because of, you know, how toxic it can be when they come out of the show. But it's not very, there's no diversity in body shapes or ethnicity or anything.
No, it's so, just the perfect body, which, listen, again, you have to be so disciplined to have it. And, like, you know, they go in there, not known, with maybe 5,000 Instagram followers, they leave with 500,000. And imagine the messages, and they're not all positive, Jen, as you know, and just dealing with that must be tough, like, you know.
Very toxic. It is. But each their own. If you're into that, what are the positives of it? I'd love to hear from you. What do you love about Love Island 5-1? Why would you watch a baby crying for an hour?
That's what caught my attention. Like, I was like, turn off that telly, will you? Like, and she actually did. She's like, you know, I'll watch the rest of that tomorrow. So anyway, whatever you're into.
Okay, whatever. I think it's some people, especially if they have stressful, I always find my friends who have really high-paired jobs, or if they have kids and they sit down, they just want to watch rubbish, Real Housewives and Love Island, because they don't want to have to think. They just want to watch something that they don't have to think too much.
I get it. And it's not like a protest. I 100% get it. It's everyone looks well. They're easy on the eye, men and women, and they just chat shy to each other and get on with it and whatever. And that's fine, but just, I wouldn't be a fan anyway.
Now, speaking of kids, yesterday we were on about kids' chores, right? Now, you have 2 kids, but think back.
Three.
3 kids.
Yeah.
Now, think back, 9-year-old. Think back to when you were a kid. When did you start doing chores, and what kind of stuff did the man dad make you do?
I think that is the old fashioned, like, someone does the knives and forks, another one does the bowls and the thing with me and my sister. That's one I remember, because I suppose the strong enough wheeling out the wheelie bin. That kind of stuff. It's funny, I'd never even dream of asking my daughter to wheel out the wheelie bin. I just don't ask. But when I was, it's them nuisance jobs that do that. Or if you're from the country, go get us the turf. You know, I have a lot of cousins from the countryside, and that was always go out and get us the turf. Like, you know, that's a chore. I don't know. I'd like to think the kids still do it now, but little things like that, Jen, just like make the bed. No, I wasn't a make the better. I was just about threw the blanket over on top and it was all crumbled up and the pillow just left there and the sheet half on and good old mammy would come along and make
now,
it fresh.
What do you like with the 9-year-old? Do you make her do chores? Does she do jobs?
I tell you, here's a positive about YouTube and social media. She used to watch these morning routines on YouTube where American young girls would get up, okay, I got up this morning, you know, I made my bed, I stretched, and Ella would follow that routine, which is positive, like it's make your bed, it's stretch, breathe in the morning. After that, I don't know, but it's still a positive, and that I've seen her watching. So instead of some of the stuff that you see online, that is a positive. So she'd go up, she'd make her bed, she'd do her stretches, get into fitness, you know, drink some good bit of water, all that stuff. So
that's good.
That's a good thing, yeah. That's
okay.
A positive, yeah.
Okay, deadly. Because I'm going to make your life easier now. I started to get my 7-year-old to take out the bins.
Wow. Boy or a girl?
Girl.
Wow.
I know.
Even the black bin that, like, has been danced on 100 times, that's like a ton of weight.
Even the brown one.
Oh,
I'm telling you, it's changed my life. So I've realised the reason I have had kids, it's to make them do the jobs that I don't really want to do around the house.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that 7 is discipline, like. Yeah,
isn't that? And that's good. Yeah, like, there's a lot of bribes involved.
What's, is your brown bin the food bin?
The food bin.
Yeah, yeah, that's
Manky.
The one. She can, like, actually, ours being collected every Wednesday morning, and the waft around the town of Ashburn, you know, when it's an hour away, it's a bit of a bang. When it comes up your street, it's like, oh dear God.
It's rotten.
Put your head down for
as
a while.
A teacher,
yeah.
You know, bring her back down to reality. Then these jobs have to be done, and I'm going to keep adding on to the chores.
I'm going to go home now and say, right, Ella, Jen's younger, she's 2 years younger, get that bin out there.
Even though it starts off with the black one or the green one.
The green, the light one, yeah, and wake away. And maybe, like, you know, if away on holidays and there's a heat wave and you miss the food bin, when you miss the food bin in the summer, that is a chore bringing that out, like, without puking. Like,
who's the person in your area that you look to when they put their bins out, that you know what bin has to go out? So I'm always the last to put my bins out because I can never remember, is it the green, is it the brown? So I'm always looking to my neighbours who...
Yeah, we live on a lovely cul-de-sac. If you walk outside, there's a green, and there's all houses the far side of the green, so there's plenty of them there that to be OCD about it. But I'm still the one though running up going, Ben, out of me boxers, grabbing it, running after the weed. Whoa, because it's a lovely sense of relief when you just catch the bin, man, because another load or 2 weeks of your load is so stressful in your little mind, like. So it's lovely, just it's a lovely start today when you just catch him and he throws it in and you're wheeling and walking back in your boxes going, lovely.
I have never run after a bin man. Mine go out at night time. I've never, that's a thing that happens in your life regularly, you would be running after him.
Yeah, a couple of times I have been spotted pounding down the road in my little Penny's boxers, like, in the things jungling around and running.
You definitely need to buy him a bottle of whiskey at Christmas, your bin man, for having to witness that.
Yeah.
Now, on Tuesday we heard from men and women callers about why lots of men will cry watching a film or a match or something, but not in real life. Now, the last time you were in after Hell Week, you were a ball of emotion.
You were.
So it's lovely to have you back fresher and better.
Way
form.
Fresher, yeah.
But it was mad. It's just this perception that we almost congratulate men for holding it together. Producer already was at a wedding and the groom was doing a speech and he was fighting with himself to not to cry, fighting. And everybody after went up to him and congratulated him, saying, "Well done for holding it together," which is a terrible message. But how does it help when you let it all out, so to speak?
Well, for starters, it's emotionally what you're meant to do. Like, you know, as a human, like, when you're feeling that feeling of overwhelm and happiness, like men would be delighted to cry, say, when, like, Kerry win the All-Ireland there, or if we win the Six Nations, or, you know, go back to Brendan O'Carroll and it was the snapper when he cries and pours the beer over his head. That's acceptable, like, but I found pure overwhelming happiness is the same kind of, it triggers the same emotions as being very sad, say, over grieving, and but you don't mind letting it out when you're happy, because happy tears are great. But it's when, you know, it's like you see most men at wakes, they're just at the coffin, shake, steal. And I've seen it with a couple of my friends, like, I'm like, right, it's only a matter of time. And then you catch them and then it's just absolute overwhelming, like, and it's always out of sight, like, away, just one-on-one, they'll have that cry. It does come back to old-fashioned Ireland, the way we were reared, like, you know, if you cry, you're soft, like, but listen, I'm an emotional fella, like, you know.
Have you always been like that, though? I mean, have you always been able to let your emotions down, yeah, and be honest?
I don't cry, like, you know, you miss the wheelie bin and you start crying. Like, it doesn't come on me that easy. But, like, yeah, I like, when I am, it's part of who I am. Like, you know, whenever I am really excited, I get, like, I can feel, like, yeah, you know, so passionate about something, tears are there. And, like, as well, like, if say, if I'm at a funeral and, you know, the likes of Fields of Gold come on, like, I can feel it. Like, I'm just one of them. Some people, like, don't cry, and that's fine. I don't think it makes any less a man crying. Like, you know, I don't believe that myself. Like, you know, I'd like to think I'd be a manly man, if you want to call that. But I do have that trigger in there, and I think it's just my personality, because I'm full in whatever everything I do. I've just been recently diagnosed with ADHD, and that kind of personality comes with that. Your impulsive behaviour, you're all in. If you like something, you're 110%. If you don't, forget about it. And that all comes with passion, and listen, emotions come with that. Like,
come here, you said you were recently diagnosed.
Yeah, in the last literally days, if you want to call it that. Yeah.
And how did that come about?
It came about just because my son, like, is he's one of them spectrums. Like, he's a full-on three-year-old, and when I was his age, I was that, and I just want to be a better parent, and we just decided, like, we invest in it. And I know it's very difficult for a lot of parents, because, you know, if you go the kind of the waiting route, you're waiting a long, long time, like, you know. But private is what we decide. And yeah, like, for me, like, I always knew I was that, but when you learn about the ADHD, it's fascinating. Like, the negatives of it is I find simple stuff very difficult. I find, like, life admin very hard, and when you're in school, that was a nightmare to you, because when you're an ADHD kind of wired brain, the education system is not suited for you.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you an outcast, not what's making you be a ball boy. You're journalist full of easy distracted, attention span, all this kind of stuff. But there was more to that, like, and now I'm learning all the time. And the more I learn, Jen, it's absolutely fascinating. Now, the positives of my way is the people who change things in the world are ADHD, because when you focus your mind on something, you will do it till you die. Like,
your superpowers,
you know, it's you have a superpower. Yeah, that's it. And yeah, that's so my wife finds me hard to live with because of that, like, you know, just nuisance of a fella. I get really high and then I get low.
Be amazing to finally get the recognition or the diagnosis. Did you feel like a weight's been lifted, and your wife, did everything kind of make sense then when you got the official diagnosis?
Yeah, well, like, to be straight out, I was only speaking to the specialist last night on the phone. Like, and this is a fact of the matter. Last night she rang me saying, listen, we knew you were, but just to, like, you're absolutely double stamped ADHD. And, like, it's a bit, like, I more so feel sorry for myself that way. I would have consider myself stupid during my school days, and anyone my generation that, like, gets themselves in trouble because of that impulsive behaviour. But they're not bad people, and the reality of it is it ends up in abuse with, like, alcohol, drugs, and it can often end up in prison because you can't control yourself. And, you know, that's something I'm very passionate about. I do a lot of work and do a lot of talk in schools, because I want to be the example that, listen, I have a fourth book coming out this year, and I still can't spell, but that's the power of that ADHD, is if you put your mind to something, nothing will get in your way. And, yeah, and that is the positive. And the negative is you're a simple Simon with simple stuff. You just can't get it. Like, I'd be looking at something for hours going, I've no idea what is going on here. And it could be just screwing in a light bulb. And I'd be going, oh, this is painful. But then something that blows someone else's mind, I'd find easy. Like,
yeah, isn't it funny? I have friends in similar situations. They have gone to see a specialist because they're a kid, and then they're looking at these tests and they're looking at the child or whatever, and they're like, oh my God, that's me.
Yeah.
And it's only later in life. And it's very sad, because you feel like you didn't have the help, obviously, back then in school where you could have done with that support.
Like, and again, like me and my health experience, that leaves scars, Jen. That's the bottom line, is there's a scar in there that has been there since you were younger, and it's only when you're older you nearly feel so sorry for that person, because it wasn't your fault. You just aren't wired. And even though 2 + 3 or writing, spelling is easy to 60% of their 70% of the class, to you it's you know, scientist stuff. And that's what I'm learning. And once you understand it, you become a lot less harder on yourself, I suppose. Like,
yeah. Well, it's great to find out that you finally found out you had a superpower. That's deadly, and a lot of great stuff for you in the future. Any gigs happening by any chance?
Oh, by any any chance?
What,
yeah,
how,
yeah.
Is
wow,
there?
Imagine that. Yeah, the chance of that. I am going on tour in September and October, all around the country, everywhere. I won't name them, just all over the shop. They're all on RoryStories.ie. I have a special guest at every event, and every event I want someone to take something from the story. Like, I have people who, you know, have great stories to tell. Some are famous, some are not famous, but everyone has a message that I'm going to be talking to at each venue, because I want people to laugh at my expense, but I also want people to listen to the conversation and learn off myself and the guests, so they walk away from the gig going, well, I laughed and I also learned plenty about myself. So getting going the 9th of September in Port Leash is the first night, and then a lot of driving then for the next couple of months after that.
Where can people get tickets?
RoryStories.ie, yeah.
RoryStories.ie, there we go. Rory is a great fella. He did a talk for us recently in Kilmessan.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go. And it was really eye-opening, this texter says. He's such a normal, relatable lad and just talks straight about how it is. Love him. Hey, Rory, random one, but will you be doing Hell and Back in October?
Probably will, yeah. I done the one recently and it was a great, brilliant experience. So, yeah, I probably will, yeah.
Okay. But don't hold him to that because he's very busy.
yeah. No, and I'd encourage people to do it. It's a great test of yourself, and it's great crack. Get a bunch of people. I definitely would highly recommend doing it.
Okay. Well, listen, always a pleasure to have you in. Thank you so much for coming in and being Jen's friend, and best of luck with the tour.
Cheers. Thanks, Jen. Cheers.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.